Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Read today from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the letter to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words. Pray that we'll know them rightly, that we'll enter into what we need to know from them, and that we will give God glory, thinking of the prayer of the Lord Jesus when he teaches us to pray to our Father which is in heaven, to hallow his name, and to want his kingdom to come. Let's pray that God will teach us through this, reviving the church, awakening and saving many in the world, and through Christ bringing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Our Father, we give thanks once again for thy grace in Christ. We give thanks for Father giving us first Christ, giving him to die those 1900 and some years ago, giving him as a man to be born of the Virgin Mary, born under the law, to redeem them under the law. And all of us, we confess, are guilty according to thy law, that we do not love thee. We do not love our neighbors ourselves. We know at times there seems to be more restraint in the world than other times. And we think of the time of Noah when violence increased and thou didst destroy the world with a flood. And thou hast said, Lord Jesus, that as in the days of Noah, so will it be in thy coming. And we are seeing more and more again violence, hatred, strife. We have seen it, Father, between churches. We have seen it in the homes. We see it in our nation in so many different factions and different ways. And rather than honoring one another, loving one another, we have division. And Father, it is alarming. And we pray that we might rightly recognize it, that we might be able to repent of it, and that we may not be left to ourselves. We have read of thee, Lord Jesus, that thou art the one that has the key of David, and that thou openest and no man shuttest, and thou shuttest and no man openeth. Help us to know, Father, the awfulness of when thy grace seems to be shut and it is not open and men cannot open it. We read of that warning that thou wilt give us over to a reprobate mind, and we pray, Father, that this may not be our lot, but that we may yet have the grace to repent, the grace to believe, the grace to obey, and the grace to love, that thou wilt give us this with thy Spirit, all because of Christ. We pray in his name that thou wilt teach us these things as we need to know them, that we will once again endure sound doctrine, that we will learn it together, that the church will be one in the truth, in the truth of thy word, every part of it, that we might together seek the old paths, the faith of our fathers, especially in this nation. We think of the blessing that was given to our forefathers and thy teaching them, and teaching them in such a way that it brought persecution, brought about the beginning of this nation and our earliest forefathers, also later at different times in our own area here, being persecuted in Europe. And we pray, Father, that we might see these things, and we might know that it is all in thy grace and thy blessing, that though there was persecution, it was for their good, even though many suffered and some died, but it was good for us, good for their children, good for the next generations. And Father, now what we have been given, we seem to be throwing to the wind, and we see it changing rapidly and turning to evil and to lies and to wickedness and calling evil good and good evil. Instead of loving, killing, and killing so many of the unborn. And we pray, Father, that we might see these things as they are, as described in thy word. And again, we give thanks for a perfect word. We give thanks for what it teaches us. We give thanks for both the teaching directly from thee, Father, to us, also the teaching that we have by example. And here we have the examples of these different churches and the example of this church at Philadelphia. And we pray that we might learn from each one. We pray that thy Spirit might lead us into all truth and lead the church together in the truth, that we will know it together in repentance and faith and obedience, in doctrine and life. We pray for thy blessing on not only the church, but our homes, that thou would give in them what's needed through Christ, and especially the troubled homes, that they might be brought to repentance and brought to reconciliation, both with thyself and with each other in the homes. We pray for the children in those troubled homes, that they might be led of thee and kept by thee, not given over to the way of frustration and despair. We pray for thy blessing on those that need a healing hand in the body. We pray for the many other needs that there are, those that are homeless, hungry, suffering, persecuted. In all of this, Father, we pray that thou would look on us and others through Christ, in whose name we give thanks, and especially now lead us in this word because of him. Amen. As we have this letter here, the sixth church, we saw in the beginning the church of the Laodicea, the seventh church. We have then gone back to the beginning of the other churches and now come to this sixth church, one of the two that is not reproved, one of the two that is not called to repentance, but here described as, first of all, describing himself, the Lord Jesus, and writing to them, and then describing them. In the eighth verse of this third chapter, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. This is taking place there, but it's all because of Christ. The Lord Jesus, who said just before his death to the apostles, recorded in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. We also know that it is true, without Christ we can have nothing in the way of righteousness. We can have sin, we can have judgment come upon us, but only to have God's love, his forgiveness, reconciliation, all because of Christ, all because of the fact that he paid the price for our sin on the cross. We don't add to it. We can't. Left to ourselves, the scripture says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We may believe that this church here at Philadelphia learned that. Every church and every people in the church, every person in the church comes into existence having repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, we read, he began to preach and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's how one of the Gospels recorded. Another one records his words, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so it is through repenting. Repenting is simply submitting to God, submitting in what he says about our sin, submitting in the fact that we are guilty, submitting in the fact that we are very, very wrong, that we need to be turned. As Peter said, Christ blessed us in turning every one of us from our iniquities. He does that as well as in objective ways alone paid for our sin on the cross. If we would have been there and left to ourselves, we would have joined those who said, crucify him. Isaiah speaks of him and says, we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised and rejected of men. But here, he is the one speaking from heaven. After he was here on earth for those 30-some years, teaching, glorifying God, healing, doing miracles, raising even the dead, and now speaking from heaven and saying, these things saith he that is holy. He is that. He is one with the Father. He is, as he said to another church, I am the Son of God. He is that, God's Son. The Lord Jesus said unto Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. At times, God even spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This was the message that was given in prophecy. This was the message while he was on earth. And here he is speaking as the Son of God from heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and saying, rightly, he that is holy. Peter stated, recorded in Acts chapter 3, verse 15, speaking to those that were guilty after the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, Peter said, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. This is what Peter and John would witness after the wonderful time of Pentecost, the time of the Spirit being poured out, and stating, Father, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. They had just healed the man, and were wondering how it all took place, and that Peter could say, it was through this name, the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Life, and the one that could rightly say of himself, as Peter said, you've killed the Holy One. And here he describes himself, these things saith he that is holy. Sometimes he describes the Father as perfect. He says, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. When Peter writes, he says, be holy as God is holy. But Christ is truly holy with him, perfect in all things with the Father. He could say when he was here on earth, I and the Father are one. People became angry. They called it blasphemy, but it was true. Absolutely true. And he also says that here, the next words, he that is true. I have one book before me here, the Bible, that's true. Just think of it. True. True in a story of creation. True in a story of God, of his Son. True concerning you and me. True concerning God creating Adam, making him in his own image, good and upright. And then Adam's fall, after God warned and said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam died spiritually. His love to God was gone. His trust in God was gone. He tried to hide himself. He did what Christ said later, everyone that does evil hates the light. That's why Adam hid himself among the trees. As John wrote later, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He sinned, he was guilty, and he had hatred, enmity against God. Started blaming God, the woman whom thou gavest me. Blamed the woman and God. The deceitfulness began there. The self-righteousness began there. Justifying ourself instead of confessing guilt. But he that is holy, he that is true. When the Lord Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked if he was the king. And the Lord Jesus said, thou sayest it. But along with it, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And then Pilate says, art thou a king then? The Lord Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone. If you are one that don't hear the voice of Christ, you aren't in truth. You're believing a lie. You may still be a child of Satan who is a liar. As Christ said, he was a liar and a murderer. Everyone that does not hear his voice, as he said it in Scripture, that He was the Son of God. Is a liar. He says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And as I said a moment ago, this book is truth. It comes from God, from Christ, from the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, the triune God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I have given the example before of Stephen being stoned, he said, I see the heaven open. I see Christ standing on the right hand of God. And Luke, writing the book of Acts, describes Stephen as full of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit was here on earth in Stephen, filling him, giving him the wisdom that he could speak the way he did, that he could then also see the heaven open and see the Lord Jesus and God together, both in heaven, and the Spirit here on earth in him. One and three, all agreed, perfect. Do we understand it? No. Do we believe it? Yes. The Scripture tells us, and it's true. Find any other book. And you probably won't find one that is entirely true. You might find a few books of spelling or arithmetic, but you certainly won't find history that is really, fully, accurately true. I've been reading some recently. I heard some speaking of a man some time ago, and then I got one book and read about the man. It was terrible. Pictured him as, even describing him as a gorilla. Everything he did was wrong. And then I thought, well, I have another book of a man that knew him personally, wrote about him, and everything was good. Reading about the church recently, written by a pastor of a certain denomination, and talked about the heretics that were in other areas and churches. He talked about a man that was a well-known evangelist and said he was just an enthusiast. Then he talked about the pastors in his own church, and even if they differed, they were excellent men. Was he accurate? I don't think so. Not about others outside of his denomination. And I'm not so sure he was accurate about those within his own denomination. We uphold self, but not in truth. We put down others, but not in truth. This book is true. And in reading those particular books about men and about history of the church, it just made me really be thankful for the Bible. I have one book in my house, true. I have other good books, many of them, helpful, but not all true. Sometimes good men that write many good things, and then you wonder, why did they believe this certain doctrine wrongly? Why were they left in ignorance on that? Only God knows. Probably to keep both us and others humble, that we don't trust in man. The Bible says, cursed is he that leaneth on the arm of flesh. And here we have one that we can trust, that we can believe in. We can believe his word right now. We can learn from it. And we can be saved by it. Saved. Yes, saved. Saved from sin. Saved from hell. Saved from the power of Satan the liar. All by the one who is holy, who is true, he that hath the key of David, and he openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Again, he states true words, but also words that we can just think about. He's in control. Yes, he may shut. He may shut the doors of some churches. The first church he warned. He said, except you repent, I will remove the candlestick. That's really shutting the light out of the church. He can do that. Some people in the church just glibly say, oh, God's on the throne, as if everything is going to go smoothly for the church. Everything is going to go nice for us. Not so. There were those in the time of Jeremiah who said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this, as if that would stand. God sent Jeremiah to stand on the gate of the temple and say, this is not the temple of the Lord. It was a beautiful building. But the Spirit of God was gone. Sometime later, it was burned down by Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed, and the city with it, Jerusalem, and it lay a heap and a waste for 70 years. God's judgment on the most wonderful city probably in the world, the most beautiful temple, the temple that was blessed earlier, Solomon's wonderful prayer when he dedicated it, but later no longer. But Christ was there. He that hath the key of David, and openeth, and no man shutteth. Now close with the words of Isaiah 22, verse 22. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulders. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe him. He's true.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.